Today we're going to be looking at a number of different passages, but we're kind of breaking from our series on walking in intimacy with Christ and breaking those barriers. Today, with it being the annual meeting, I think it seemed to be appropriate for us to reconnect with our mission. And so some of you have heard some of this, the leaders, you've heard a lot of this that we're going to talk about today. But, you know, today we're going to be talking about the importance of mission, understanding what our mission as a church is, to make sure that you look at your own heart, your own life, and ask, not only do I believe that this is the mission that God has given us as a church, but am I embracing it and engaged in it myself personally? You know, I probably shouldn't say I love this story. You'll understand after I share it. But back in 1978 in Britain, there was a strike among the firefighters. The paid fire departments went on strike, and so they sent the military to go in and do the job of the firefighters throughout the cities. And during that time, one of the crews got a call out, and I know, having worked as a chaplain with the fire department, the guys I worked with in McKeesport, they would not respond to these calls because of the risk. I know this sounds crazy, but the risk of getting a cat out of a tree. They tried to be available more for the things that were really, truly emergencies. You cat lovers, I'm sorry. But, you know, the story says they got a call about a cat. A cat was in a tree, and so they called them, and this group of replacement firefighters went out, got the truck. They went out, found the home. They rescued the cat, and the woman was so excited she invited them in for tea. So they went in, they had tea. They came out, they got in the truck, and they backed over the cat on the way out. Now, I want to ask you, is that a successful mission? You know, I think some of you are thinking, any dead cat, that's a successful mission. That's not where I'm going with that. But I actually like cats. But I want you to think about that. I mean, there's a clear mission. Firefighters have a clear mission to go and to rescue. Not normally cats. It's rescuing people and being there to be able to prevent a home from being burned or rescuing someone from a river incident. But, you know, the issue I have found in working with the firemen, though, it gives us a good model of how I think the church should function. And I want you to imagine for a second, imagine a fire department that had all the best equipment. They had the best trucks. They knew how to use the equipment. They spent all their time in training. They spent all their time going out and doing public service type of educational events, which most departments do. And they did all these things, but when the alarm went off for a fire, they didn't respond. What would be the problem in that? They're not fulfilling their mission. They can be busy doing a lot of other things. Thank God they don't do that. So we need to be grateful. We need to be lifting up in prayer our first responders. That's something I know that is a big part of my ministry and my heart. But, you know, I encourage you to think about that. Think about, imagine a fire department that didn't respond when the bell and the alarm went off. Because I think often churches, we can get so caught up and busy in good things, but we can be so caught up and busy in things that really are not moving us forward in fulfilling the mission that Christ has for us. And so today we're going to be reconnecting with our mission as a church and looking at the biblical basis of that. And really, I encourage you as we look at this, that you look at your own heart and your life and say, do I really believe this is what God has called the church to do? And then ask yourself, am I following Christ? Am I really pursuing Him? And am I embracing this mission? If you want to look at the first slide, our mission statement is to develop followers of Jesus Christ who impact the world with His love. That's our mission. Pretty short. Yeah, I'm going to need someone to rescue me here in a second if I fall off the steps. And of course, you two would be the first to witness this here. So, we encourage you just to look at those words, and we're going to really dive in because, you know, this is the way we've chosen to word our mission, but we believe that the mission flows from God's word. It's not something that we just went in a committee and said, well, what is it? We looked at God's word and said, well, what did Christ give the church to do? And then how do we communicate that in a way that will mobilize and keep us on target in our mission and mobilize our congregation? You know, the idea of developing followers of Jesus Christ is what we mean by making disciples. And in my experience, I've known a lot of churches who focus on the issue of making disciples, but sometimes it in our minds, and the average person in the pew looks at it and says, I'm a part of a church that is focused on disciple making, and they're all doing it, and I'm excited that our church is doing this. But they miss the fact that if we are a disciple ourselves, it's not just about us. That by being a disciple means that we are impacting someone else. That the focus, and if you look in the next screen, Matthew 28:19-20, this is what we often, if you grew up in the Alliance or another missionary-focused church, you'd often see this pulled out during missionary conferences. But I appreciate Bob's word this morning. This is not just for our missionaries. This is for every one of us. If you claim to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, these words are for you, and these words are for me. And let's go ahead and read those. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, whose words are these? They're Jesus. They're some of Jesus' final words to his disciples. And so he's giving this what we call the Great Commission. It's this, these final instructions and final words he's given to the disciples. And the next slide emphasizes some of the words to help us understand this. You know, often growing up in the church, if you'd ask me, what's the main verb here? What's the command? I heard two words. Go and make. The reality is there's one clear imperative, one clear command here. If you get into the Greek and look at it, the Greek command, imperative, is to make disciples. And sorry, those of you that don't like English, just tune this out for a little bit. Or grammar. The other three words, the verbs, are participles. And it kind of throws us off. We see it on two of them, but the one, if you look on this, I actually have it in parentheses, the going, baptizing, and teaching. They're all three participles, which means they're supportive of that command. We're to make disciples, and we do that by going, we do it by baptizing, and we do it by teaching them to observe all things that Christ has taught. As a church, we need to be focused on our one command. That one clear command is to make disciples. This is not just for our missionaries. This is for every one of us. And if you're a follower of Christ, you really don't have the option to just try to follow him and leave everyone else alone. If you're following Christ, he wants to produce in you a disciple who will reproduce himself or herself. He wants to change your heart and lead you to a place where you look more and act more like Jesus, and then he's going to use you to bless other people. This is a consistent thing we see throughout Scripture, and one explanation of those three words, the going, the baptizing, and teaching. I think the going we kind of understand, but typically we just kind of look at that as, well, that's the missionaries. We send them. I like one translation that says, as you are going, make disciples. And I think it's pretty accurate that wherever God has you in your life, whether you're a plumber, electrician, an accountant, whatever it is that he has called you to in a vocation, if you're a follower of Christ, he has also called you to go and make disciples. You go, as Acts 1:8 tells us, that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we are his witnesses. We go as his witness, to bear witness to him. I think the thing that the church often gets wrong is we sit and we wait for people to come. And that's why I think this word is so important. And even though the command is make disciples, I think the word go is so critical that we have that in our head, because we can't sit and wait for the world to come to us. We have to follow Jesus' example and go to the people that need the hope of Christ. And that means the people that you're rubbing shoulders with. And if you're not rubbing shoulders with people that need Jesus, you're not hanging out with the right people. Most of you are probably knee deep or higher with people that you know they need Jesus. The reality is we all need Jesus. And I've shared that my favorite definition of evangelism was by Samuel Shoemaker, and he said, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're not above anyone that we're reaching out to. We're just pointing to the hope that we can find in Christ. We need to be going. We also, that baptizing, you may think, well, I can't baptize anyone. The focus on the baptizing is you're helping them get grounded. They're getting grounded in a community of faith. They're getting grounded in their relationship with Christ. And then that last part, the teaching, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. It's really carries more this idea of an equipping and equipping someone to walk like Jesus walked. Look at the next verse, Matthew 4:19. This is something I think it's all throughout Scripture, this theme that God has two callings for his believers. Those who put their faith in God, whether it was Abraham, whether it was the disciples, whether it's us. God has given us two callings. And that's the call that we see in Ephesians 4:19 when Jesus called his disciples. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There are two callings. Just like in the Great Commission that we looked at, we're called to be a disciple, to follow Christ, to become a disciple, a follower, so that then we can make other disciples and fulfill that command. Here in this word, we're told to follow after Christ, which is an invitation to walk as a student to Christ, to walk in intimacy with him, to learn, like we've been studying the last few weeks, of hearing his voice, knowing his presence, and walking with him so that we are growing in relationship with him and we're becoming more like him. When a rabbi would invite a student to follow him, some of you know this with the video series, and I always mess up his name, Vanderlaan, is that right? Where's Dallas? Ray Vanderlaan? Sorry, he's just, that was the pastor. There's no hope, you're not going to get that right. But he has a whole series on what it means to really be a follower of the rabbi. And he makes a great point, is that the goal of any student of a rabbi was to become like the rabbi, to do everything that he did. When Christ calls us to follow him, he calls us to walk in relationship with him, in intimacy with him, to hear his voice, to know his presence, and to become like him. And he begins to make that change in us and then prepares us to be people who will bless others and impact others. Remember, Abraham was called and said, God told Abraham, "I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to the nations." In these verses, Christ calls the disciples and says, "Follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Follow me, you're going to be changed, and then you're going to be a blessing and impact others." You know, as a church, we want to intentionally focus on this point of that it's not just about following Christ. It's following Christ and designing and developing followers of Christ who aren't just growing in their own walk with God, but they're intentionally focusing to live their life in a way that they're going to be a blessing to others and they're going to impact other people with his love. I want to ask you, are you doing that? Are you going deeper in your walk with Christ, and are you impacting other people with his love? If you're not, as a church, we want to make sure that everything that we do is going to help you do one of those two things. Either go deeper in your walk with Christ or help you, equip you to be a blessing to others and to share his love. You know, I'm going to show a video clip. I have to tell you that what you're going to hear today, in the sense of not only our mission but our strategy, I believe this is a strategy you can see in Jesus' own ministry. And some of you, I know the leaders are thinking, man, we've heard this. We've kind of walked for a year through this. But, you know, the issue here, I think, is so critical, is that if we are focused and committed to this mission and then fulfilling this strategy that you're going to hear in a second, we are invited to participate. And that's every one of you. However many years you've been here, or months or days you've been connected to this church, there is a place for you to not only come, get connected with other people, and grow in your relationship with Christ, but we want you to participate in the mission of making an impact in Warren County, throughout the state of Pennsylvania, and the world for Christ. The question is, you know, the reality is we can do everything right as leaders, and I can tell you we won't. But even if we did everything right, you still have to make a choice to take that step to be involved. You know, we may try some things that don't work, and that's okay, as long as we keep trying. But, you know, the key thing for you is, are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be involved and embrace this? The idea of strategy, I appreciate a video clip that we're going to share here in a second. By Derwin Gray. He's a former football player in the NFL, played for the Indianapolis Colts. I know we have a couple Hoosiers here. He was committed not only to be a football player, but through his time in the NFL, he became a deeper follower of Christ. And he and his wife got more involved in ministry, and later he actually even planted a church in South Carolina, just below Charlotte, North Carolina. And he's a big guy. He spoke to the Life Youth Conference, I know, a few years ago. Really has an impact speaking to young people. This clip is a little humorous. It's a lot humorous, in my opinion. But this clip actually is where he pretends to be the evangelism linebacker, trying to motivate people to share their faith. And I just want to encourage you to watch this, because the reality is we're going to try a lot of different things. This probably will not be one of them, but let's go ahead and watch this.
Discovered a new method of evangelism that is shaking the very foundation of our thinking. It may appear unorthodox, but frankly, we're shocked at the results. We're amazed at this revolution.
Okay, so just in case our church tries anything that you think might be a little crazy, it's not the evangelism linebackers. So, you know, that idea, are you ready for game day, though, I think is so critical. I mean, there are a lot of people going to be playing on the football field later today, and some of you are passionately involved in cheering some of those teams, and some of you even have the garb on to prove that today. But, you know, the reality is only the people on the field are going to make a difference in the game. And I want to ask you, are you really ready to be involved in what we're doing as a church? As we are committed to develop followers of Christ who impact this community with his love, Are you willing to do your part with that? You know, I love the word that he said. It may not have caught it, but the guy that he knocked out in his own living room there, he said, "Selfishness, the world needs your message. For God so loved the world, he wants to communicate it through you." Selfishness, I think, is so critical that we have to look at ourselves and ask. It may not be fear. It may just be saying, you know, I'm happy with the life that I'm living, and I don't really want to embrace this. I want to just very quickly go over what we believe to be the strategy that Christ had in his own ministry of how we make disciples. And I want to encourage you to not only look at this to say, can I embrace this as a mission, but can I personally get engaged in this? First step of that strategy connects to that word going. And it's the winning the lost. And again, we can't just sit here and wait for people to come. We need to be out living the life of Christ in front of people that need to know the hope of Christ. We need to be willing to go and understand that there are people in this community who don't have a relationship with Christ. And the Bible is clear that if someone is outside of a relationship with Christ, they are lost for eternity. I want to ask you, do you believe it? And if you believe it, are you engaged and being a part of winning the lost in this community and winning the lost around the world? Luke 19:10, Jesus summarized his mission statement. This is after he went into Zacchaeus' home, the tax collector. One of my favorite stories, because, I mean, he went to a man who the religious leaders would never have gone into his home. And yet he went, and after proclaiming salvation for Zacchaeus' house, he says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's why he came. He didn't come for those who were already knew God, were walking with him. We exist for that same purpose. The reality is, you look at the empty spaces, we exist for the people who aren't here yet, who are walking outside of a relationship with Christ. And I want to ask you, are you willing to be involved? Jesus said, and this was in our opening scripture this morning, John 20:21, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus calls us to go. He sends us, just like the Father sent him to come to this earth, he sends each one of us. We exist to fulfill that mission. We need to be committed to winning the lost. We also need to be committed to building the believer. And I explained that second word, that baptizing, is a broader picture, the idea of helping someone get connected and rooted in their faith, in community and in relationship with Christ. Christ doesn't just want to save us. He wants us to be grounded in our faith. He wants us to grow in intimacy with him, and he wants to change us and transform our hearts and our lives. Romans 8:29 gives us a very clear target, very clear picture of what Christ wants to do in our hearts and our lives. He says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. He chose us, he calls us, so that we can be formed into the very image of Christ, to become more like Jesus in our character, in our values. I want to ask you, are you seeing change in that way? Are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday or even a year ago? He also calls us to deeper intimacy with Christ. And we looked at Ephesians 3 last week and Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And he says, and I have a few of the verses on there, but I'm going to start in verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." What's really described there is he's trying to strengthen our soul to be able to have more of him in us. He's trying to strengthen us in our spirit to be able to have more of his fullness in us. Verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Again, Christ doesn't just want to save us. He doesn't want your foot in the door. He wants to come and to live inside of you and to grow in his fullness each day in our lives. So we should be becoming not only more like him, but we become more like him as he lives through us. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, "It's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me." That's the Christian life. And we have to be willing to surrender each day to let him live in us and through us. So we're to be winning the lost. We're to be building the believer. That means we need to be doing our part and sharing faith. We need to be growing in our walk with Christ. But we also, another key thing that we see Jesus doing was he equipped his disciples to do the work. Jesus didn't do it all himself. He would train the disciples, then he would send them out. They'd come in and they'd give a report, and he would send them out again. They started doing the same things that Jesus did. We need to equip the workers. And the question is, you have to ask yourself, am I a worker in the harvest field? Am I a worker doing the work that Christ has called us to do? Ephesians 4:11 through 12 says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ." That key part in verse 11, "And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers." Why? To equip saints for the work of the ministry, the body of Christ. I need to tell you, I believe very clearly that this defines what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. When I was in seminary, I had the opportunity to fill a pulpit in a small country church in backwoods of eastern Kentucky. It's a definite, I have stories I don't want to share from the pulpit, but it was an interesting experience. One of the things that was amazed with, I remember seeing the job description for the pastor. And the pastor was expected to maintain the parsonage, maintain the church, do all physical, anything that needed repaired. Every time it had a heavy rain, the basement flooded. It was on the pastor's job description to squeegee the floor. It was this long list of things that should have been shared work. And I had talked to other pastors who had been asked to go down and actually take the role. I just filled for a few months and filled the pulpit. You know, the reality is often in our churches we get this mindset that our pastor, our missionaries, are the ones that we pay them to do the work. God is very clear that my job, my ultimate job, is to not only follow Christ, to walk in intimacy with him, but to equip people to do the work of ministry, so that we can grow in the full measure of Christ, be the body of Christ that this community needs. I have to tell you, you guys do a great job. One of the things that stood out when I came to this congregation was just how active you as a people are, and I commend you in that. There, often churches talk about the 80-20, that is 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. We're, I think, slightly ahead of that curve, because we have people that are committed, not only to this church, but committed to Christ and committed to make a difference. But there are some of you that aren't really involved yet. I want to ask you, as we try to design things to equip you, we're not just going to throw you at a task or something. We want to equip you to do the work of ministry. But you have to be willing to be equipped. You have to be willing to step up and be involved. We're also going to be talking about multiplying leaders, and that's the fourth step we're not going to get into today. But as a church, we are committed to develop followers of Christ who will impact this community with his love. And we're going to be focused in everything that we do in winning lost people, building believers, and equipping them to do the work that God has called them to do. I want to ask you today, are you willing to be involved with that? The four principles that are going to kind of guide us in a lot of this and has been guiding us even in some recent decisions, we need to keep our focus. We can be so distracted by other things. As a church, we need to have a laser focus on our mission and understand that Christ has called us to follow. He has called us to follow him and to impact this community and the world with his love. So that means that there will be some things we may not do. And that brings us to that principle of simplicity. We need to keep it simple. We need to keep what we do simple so that anyone that comes and is involved in the church can know in a very short time who we are, what we're about, and how they can be involved. We're not there yet. We're working towards this simplicity. But I want to ask you, are you ready to dive in and do your part? And are you willing to let go of some things that might be good things so that we can really stay clear in our focus and have a simple strategy of reaching this community for Christ? We need to be focused on relationships. I believe that we can have the best programs in the world, but if we don't build relationships within those ministries, they won't work. And so we want to be doing something very intentional in mentoring and coaching. And the fourth thing, we need to have healthy rhythms. How many here feel like their life is a little out of control? Feel a little stretched, overwhelmed, no margin. as a church, we often can add to that, and we add activity, activity, activity without asking, is this essential? Is this something we really need to be doing, and is it focused on our mission as a church? So we need to be developing a healthy rhythm, and when we do the right things, do them consistently, it builds momentum, and it builds movement for as a church. You know, the William Carey, I want to close with this. William Carey is considered the father of the missionary movement. And he was actually, I didn't realize this, he was a shoemaker. And after he would close a shoemaker shop, he would study Greek and Hebrew and start studying the language and the culture of some of the places he would go. And he ended up going to India as a missionary and really became the father of the modern-day missions movement and inspired many, many others to leave their homeland and to go and to share Christ with other people. You know, on his deathbed, he was visited by a young man who was committed to follow in his steps. And the guy was talking to him while Mr. Carey was on his deathbed. And he just went on and about how wonderful William Carey was and all he had accomplished and all he did. And William Carey said these words. He said, "Mr. Duff, you've been speaking a lot about Dr. Carey, Dr. Carey. When I am gone, say nothing about Dr. Carey. Speak about Dr. Carey's Savior." I want to ask you, have you come to a point in your life that you are so in love with Christ, that your hearts have been transformed, you've experienced His grace and His love and His forgiveness, and it's changed you, and you want to share that with others? It's all about Jesus. And the question is, are we willing to surrender our lives to embrace Him, to have more of Him, and to let that overflow of His love and His Spirit impact those that we come in contact with each day and each week of our lives? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come into this place to hear Your Word. Lord, I realize that too often we are focused about just activity or busyness. And Lord, I just pray that we would not be having that as our goal, just being busy. Lord, I pray that everything that we do as a church, Lord, would help us to go deeper in relationship with You, or help us to more effectively reach this community and reach the world for Christ. Lord, help us to know how to not only grow deeper with You, but help us to know practical ways that we can demonstrate Your love to this community. And Lord, help us to be willing to take risks. Help us to be willing to try new things. Lord, I just pray that Your Spirit would be working in and through the life of this church. Lord, as we make ourselves available to You, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.